Want to encourage you on a couple things. If you can make it tonight, please come tonight. It's always a good time to get into the Word together as believers. And I remember we went through this discipleship book, 13 weeks, took us about 24 weeks. But it was a blessing. If you need a discipleship book or if you need one of these smaller discipleship books, let me know. Let me know. I'd be happy to help you. This would be a good time for you to get tuned up. As I said, either last week or the week before, that it's okay to do a discipleship class more than once. I've did it several times. It's always helped me each and every time. It's been a blessing. So just want to encourage you in that area. And I do want to make another announcement that our junior church is going to be back going full steam the first Sunday in June. So just want to let you know about that. And praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn back to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Book of 2 Peter. I think I'm on. Yeah, is it going to town? Praise the Lord. The book of 2 Peter, we've been looking at verses 1 through 15. Moreover, we've been focusing in or honing in on the seven steps to godly living, which was found in verses 5 through 7. So we'll start our reading there in verse 5, where the Bible says, and besides this, giving all diligence. I hope when you look at this, you look at it as steps. At step, really, there's only one big step, and that's living for the Lord. Amen. Amen. But these steps help you to add to your faith. You will see this in verse 5. It's interesting. I was reading this week, and as one commentary, he wanted to add 8. And what he was saying is faith is one of the steps. Well, okay, I don't think he's violating the scriptures there, but I think it's great. But we've been calling it 7, starting with virtue. So we'll read in verse 5. It says, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith. That means faith. Peter's directing this towards those who had trusted Christ as their Savior. Add to your faith. You can't add to it unless you have it. Amen. You know, people always want to understand the Bible. They want to be religious. They say, well, I do want to do right. I want to do this. But they never receive Christ. They've never repented of their sins. They never allowed the Holy Spirit to come into them and to abode with them. And you have to have faith. I mean, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. You must trust Christ. You know, this week I was looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Plainly, the Bible here is in one verse is plainly telling you that if you're a natural man, that means you have not been saved, that you're not going to understand the things of God. You must allow the Holy Spirit to come into you and to discern, and then you'll have the discernment here. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, and you're never going to understand the Bible unless you get saved. Amen. And that's what he's saying here. Give all diligence. Listen, where he says, and besides this, give all diligence. What does that mean? That means work it. You got to work at this thing. You got a purpose in your life that you're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is you're going to do it. You know, in Philippians 2:12, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know what we need? Sometimes we just need a little bit of spiritual sweat. Need to get to it. Amen. Need to be reading the Word. seeking out the things of God, growing in grace. He says, give all diligence, add to your faith, save people, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. See how they all work together here. You got to add to your faith virtue. If you had virtue, it's going to help you with your knowledge. You're going to get some things squared around in your mind. You're going to desire. The word virtue means moral excellence. You're going to desire. You know, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sometimes we got to clean it out, amen? We got to get our mind right, you know, and add to your faith virtue, moral excellence. And then what does he say? Knowledge. And then God's able to impart to you the things of his word, amen? And you can walk with him, and you can talk with him, and he can change you. And then knowledge, temperance, and that we love that one there, didn't we? What does that mean? Self-control. All right, temperance, self-control, and to temperance, patience. That means endurance, right? Let me tell you, if you have moral excellence, right, you have the knowledge of the word, and you have self-control, it's going to help you to endure. It all works together. See the progression here, right? It says to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. See, as you grow in grace, you grow in self-control, you grow in endurance, right? You're going to be more of a godly man. You're going to be more of a godly woman. You're going to be more of a godly boy, a godly girl. It's going to help you. It's all going to work together. And then we see today it says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. See, if you're walking with the Lord in the light of his word and you're someone say, man, that, you know, someone look at your life as you spend time with God and you develop in your spiritual life, you become more godly, it's going to be easier for us to love one another as Christians. Brotherly kindness. Now, the word in the Greek, there for brotherly is simply from the same womb. And then kindness is the word that we get in the New Testament for the word love, and you might have heard many sermons on phileo, that deep-seated love that you can have. So you have this brotherly kindness. That's what we're going to try to do in the next few minutes here, is just study that out a little bit and see how the Lord works. So let's ask him for his blessing upon the word. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you so much for your word, Lord. Mercy, thank you for your word, Lord. I'm glad that I can just go to your word. I don't have to get on some website. And I don't have to call some preacher. But Lord, I can go to your word and you'll speak to my heart. I can pray to you, Lord, and you'll guide and you'll direct. So Lord, I pray that you'll do that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we see these steps, we see here we're on number six on seven steps to godly living. And the one thing we really focused on was where he says, and as we go on, you know, next week, Lord willing, we'll be on love. Amen. And that it says to godliness, brotherly kindness, where we are today, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. Now look at verse 8, and we touched on this last week. For if these things be in you. Now, the main title of this whole series was These Things, Seven Steps to Godly Living. Okay? It should have been done weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? But anyhow, I want you to see here, it says, for if these things. Well, that if's a big word, isn't it? For if these things be in you. For if these things be in you, that you shall what? Right? He says, if these things be in you and abound, not just part of your character, not just part of your life, but if they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, that means empty, nor unfruitful. That, listen, a believer can adopt the word of God and these steps in their life and they can be a fruitful Christian. I believe that's the Lord's desire for every believer, is to be fruitful. And he says that you shall be no, in verse 8, that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Now he says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things. Now, wait a second. Who's he talking to? He is. He's still talking to you. I mean, to us. Amen. Mm-hmm. Right? He is. He says, but he that lacketh these things. So it goes to show you that there could be those that can be saved, but really outwardly they don't show any evidence of New Testament Christianity. They're being changed. That really, there's, what's sad to say, there's many Christians today that aren't virtuous. They don't even want to have moral excellence. They don't see anything wrong with living like the world and doing the things that the world does. That's terrible, isn't it? He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, making to make your calling and election sure. He's saying, hey, there's those that lack these things, and these things that they're blind, they're short-sighted Christianity. You know, we talked about that last week, that we got to see beyond some things. We got to, listen, if you're ever going to see God, you got to see beyond the sin and the filth of this world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And you got to look beyond these things. We got to be far-sighted, if you will. I know that's not a correct term, you know. But I think you know where I'm driving at on this. That if these things be in you, that these are the blessings that you're going to have. And brotherly kindness is one of them. And we see the steps that, you know, you got to give all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Now the word brotherly kindness is, there's actually a city in America named after that. The Greek word is Philadelphia. The city of what? Yeah, you go there today, you might get shot, right? No. Do you hear what I'm saying? But that's what they term their city, the city of brotherly love. You know, that's a lot easier said than lived out, isn't it? Because this love that he talks about here is a very special love that exists between brothers and sisters of the Lord. In this loving, that's who he's talking to here. You know, I come from the gutter, amen. I mean, I was raised in downtown Riverside, basically, Rubidoux, Mira Loma. You know, I about seen everything a young boy should have never seen, all right? And man, I thought I'd seen some pretty mean people in my day until I got saved. Mercy, I'll tell you one story. When I got saved in the church, I remember, man, I was on fire for God. I want to do everything for the Lord. Man, I want to see everybody saved. You know, I mean, I can identify with the psalmist when he says this. He says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Hey, friends, sometimes we just need to beg God to fill the cup back up. Amen. To get excited. But in my first year, I was excited, man. I didn't miss church much, but there was one woman in our church that she was about as mean as a rattlesnake. And I wasn't the only one that felt that way. Amen. And I remember as a new Christian, Brother Steve, they had a special, I think it was an Easter pancake breakfast. And you know what? And you had to come early, you know, almost like a sunrise pancake breakfast. Well, you know, I was contracting, I was working construction. I wanted to eat breakfast at home. I didn't feel like going in early, right? Boy, she called my house, Ava. Oh, man, she called me. She said, where you at? You supposed to be here. I'm thinking, mean? And my wife said, right there, don't say it. Man, I almost skipped out on the main service. Amen. But I'm telling you, Peter's talking about, listen, remember who wrote this book? It's Peter. Amen. Peter was the one disciple that opened the mouth and stuck the foot in right out of the box. He was always getting in trouble. And he's the one who's saying, hey, we got to have this brotherly kindness. Amen? because you're part of a loving family, brothers and sisters in Christ who love one another. Now, I have a list of what kind of love was this. It was the love that binds each other together as a family, as a brotherly clan. Not that there will never be disagreements. There will always be disagreements, amen? But a family works them out, right? Why is the divorce rate so high? It's because people don't want to work. You want to stay married? You're going to have to work at it, amen? That's a fact. Brother Doug, you were just saying how many years you've been married? 47 years. Laura Lee, it's took a lot of work. Amen. Right? You have to work at it. Amen. And that doesn't come automatic. You know, love is a commitment. No matter what happens, we're going to work at it. We're going to get, 47 years. Brother Hale, you've been married 2 months? They're still on their honeymoon. Doug says, me too, amen? If you're ever going to get to there, it's going to take commitment. It's going to take a lot of commitment, brother. My wife and I had the pleasure of meeting a couple that was married 61 years. And we asked the gentleman, we said, what is the secret to you staying married for 61 years? He said in one word, he goes, forgiveness. And turned around and walked away. I said, forgive me, honey. No. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's that love. And it's the same type of love that you have in a marriage and makes you through your commitment. And it's the same love that you get through as brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, we got to learn to get along to the point that, hey, we're going to be in heaven forever. Right? And we should have, let me say it like this. We should have an unbreakable union. Amen? Unbreakable union. To where, hey, I know I'm going to spend eternity with you all, and I love you, and we're going to get through this no matter what. Amen? To work it out. Brother Steve, I come from a family of runners. You say, what do you mean, runners? Well, when there was a problem, we ran. Amen? What I mean, I'm talking about personal problems and things, drowned them out with drugs, alcohol, whatever, instead of facing them. Amen. And what's going to make us stronger and make us united is that we have this love and know that the Bible commands us to love one another. We're going to see that where the Bible, Jesus commands us to do it. That's what he says. Before I even get there, I'll go ahead and just share it. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's what the Lord said. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. As Jesus loved you, gave his life for you, amen, emptied out heaven for you, we are to love one another that way. And he says this. He says, by this shall all men know if you are my disciples, if you have love one to another, that you're unified, amen. That's an undeniable mark of a believer is when they love one another, that a lost and dying world would look at us and say, man, they should be killing one another. They should be hating one another, but yet they love one another. That's a mark that you are saved, amen, that you have Christ. We should have that unity. If we don't have that unity, we ought to strive to have that unity. Reminds me of a story I read. There once was an old man who had sons that were always fighting and quarreling. If they played, there was always cross words to be heard. If they worked, each boy always said that the other boys did not do their share of the work. One day the old man told his son to bring him some small sticks. These he tied closely together into a bundle. Now, boys, he said, who can break these sticks? Let me try, each boy said. One after the other, they all tried, but not one of them could break a single stick in the bundle. He untied the bundle and see if you can break the sticks, the father said. And so they did. And then boys went right at it and they broke every stick. And then the old man said this. He goes, my sons, If you will stand together, you will be strong like the bundle of sticks. But if you quarrel, each one of you, you'll be weak like the single sticks. You'll be easily broken. We need to be about that. Amen. Also, this brotherly kindness holds each other together. And it just, it gives us a deep affection one for another. I don't know about you, but as I look back on my Christian experience, I could see how bonds are made through brothers and sisters in Christ. And the bond seems many times to be so close that I'm closer with my fellow Christians than I am my own flesh and blood and my family. I'm not saying that about my wife, amen. She's the closest person to me, amen. She's the greatest thing that ever happened to me beside my salvation, amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, that bond, amen, that God gives you, you know, when we see this and when we have this bond together and we have this unbreakable union, we actually live out Philippians chapter 2 through a lost and dying world, that they can see Christ in us. Amen. They can see our examples as servants. Now, I'm going to go on here, and I want to look at this word just for a minute. As I mentioned earlier, the Greek word brother. As I had mentioned, it says from the same womb. The word used for this, for love in phileo, which means a deep-seated affection, a deep and warm feeling within the heart. This is the kind of love that holds a person near and dear to one's heart. So as we see the two Greek words that are combined, brotherly love, we see the word from the same womb, and then we see the word love, phileo, that they come from the same source. And the only way that you can have this kind of love is to be born from above. Because why? I read it earlier. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Only God can do that. Only God can work that out in your heart. Have you ever traveled or just in town or something, and you might meet somebody, maybe for the first time? And immediately it might be the hat you wore, the pin on your, or just somehow you made the connection that you were Christians. Now, I'm not saying Baptists. I'm just saying, you know, amen. I'm just talking about someone that knows Christ as their personal Savior. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever felt the presence of God? Have you ever felt immediately, bam, there's a connection there, right? That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about this brotherly kindness. He says also the Lord in John chapter 15, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He goes on in John chapter, let's just go to John chapter 15. Boy, that's just packed solid with instruction. In John chapter 15, what's the first thing you think of when you see John chapter 15? Fruit. Amen? Right? All right. Okay, so John chapter 15. I'm really trying hard not to mess this up. So pray for me. Amen? So John chapter 15 and verse 1. The Lord said, I am the vine. No, I am the true vine. Remember, if you know anything about anywhere where Jesus says, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life, anywhere where he says, I am, what is he saying? He's saying he's God. He's Jehovah. He's using that word. I am. As God told Moses at the burning bush, Moses says, what shall we call you? And he says, what? God says, I am that I am. So Jesus declaring to be God, and he is God. Amen. That's why they hated him. In verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I think a lot of times we're not bearing more fruit is because we don't want to be pruned. Amen. Pruning is not a pleasant process to the plant. Anyhow, that's a whole nother message, right? Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now look at this word here, he uses in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. That's a connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to bear fruit? Abide in the Lord. Stay close to the Lord. Stay connected to the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ apart from him. Verse 6, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Lord just don't want you to bear some fruit. He wants you to bear much fruit. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the second time we read that this morning. That's a commandment, Brother Jonathan. The Lord commands us to do that. I really think that when we look at this and we look at what the Lord says, it's not an optional deal. We're either going to do it or we're not going to do it. It's a commandment. We're either going to fulfill that commandment in our life or we're going to break it. Let me go on. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go forth, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Not only does he want us to bear fruit, he wants us to bear much fruit, and that our fruit, listen, that our fruit would remain. Listen, friends, we should have the desire to make a difference in this lost and dying world. Amen. That people we come in contact with will have the feeling that, hey, look, if they don't know the Lord, that they need to know the Lord. Amen. And when they come to know the Lord, that they're indebted to the Lord. Amen. And indebted to your witness to the point to where they'll never forget it, that your fruit will remain. That's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, these things I've written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. You know what? Pray for me, because I really don't want to get tangled up here. And I just feel a little bit of resistance this morning in that area. So in 2 Timothy, no, 1 Timothy, yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, therefore thou, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou, I was right. I just needed to keep going. And the things that thou hast heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Right? We ought to be about, that's right, and telling people about his love, Brother Doug. And he says that, listen, he goes, let me read the verse again. Verse 16 in John chapter 15. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask in my Father, of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's the key. As we love one another, God's got a fruit bearing in mind. Amen. He goes on in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, I read part of the verses. I read verses 34 and 35, but let's read a couple more verses there. Let's go to John chapter 13, verses 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I had said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And that is this brotherly love. Amen. It isn't a judgmental love. Amen. I think sometimes we've got to be careful that every time we meet somebody, we want to figure out what's wrong with them. You know, this one old preacher told me, he goes, Brother Stanchfield, I don't know if he was directly applying this to me, but I took it anyways, amen. He says, you know, people aren't as bad as you think they are. And he said, they're not as good as you think they are either, amen. And if we're not careful, we'll develop this judgmental attitude to where there's no love seen in us at all. You know, people don't want to be around you when you're like that. Amen. And I'm not saying that there doesn't come a time where you got to speak the truth in love. The Bible teaches us that. But sometimes we need to come. Sometimes people just need to be loved. Amen. You know, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. When you get into their need, right? Show them that you really do care. Amen. You shouldn't care about really what, you know, everybody's got a past. Everybody has baggage. Amen. That is fact. I remember I worked with one guy. He told me that. He goes, now I got to just stop and tell you right now. I got issues. I said, welcome to the club. Amen. So do I. Amen. We all got issues. We all got baggage. We need to work together. Amen. If we're not careful, we're going to be accused of having this, what they call Phariseeism. You know, that ain't going to drive people to Jesus. See, that's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees, I'm going to give you an address. I really enjoy Wednesday night service. We've been studying. I have our study book here. And the Lord really prompted my heart to share a little bit with you this morning what we studied. And it's about Peter. The education of a disciple. And man, when I first ran across this study, I said, man, we got to teach that. You say, why? Well, maybe because I can identify with Peter so much. Amen. I knew that if I did it, I'd get some help. Amen. And it has helped me. And for those of you that have been a part of that, could you just say amen, even if you don't mean it, right? No. But we've been studying John 13 on Peter's reaction during the Lord's washing the disciples' feet. But Wednesday night we touched on this, and man, it was like a beam of light came down on me. You need to share this again, amen. And about Phariseeism and about being legalistic and not really loving people. And Jesus said this about the scribes and Pharisees. He said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 4, he says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that they observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not." Time out for a second. What was the picture here? The picture was an authoritarian, the scribes and Pharisees, the religious authority of the day, right? And they were telling the people, you need to do this, you need to do thus. But their lives did not reflect that. Do as I say, not as I do. And Jesus calls them on it. God just has a way of doing that, doesn't he? Verse 4 of Matthew 23 says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay on them men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers." Just do it. Don't expect me to do it. So the study went on to say, it says, in contrast to the two commandments of Jesus, what are they? That you're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But contrary to this, the Pharisees had developed, and the scribes and Pharisees had developed a system of 613 laws. 365 negative commands, and I had mentioned Wednesday, one for each day, right? 365 negative commands and 248 positive commands. By the time Christ came, they had produced a heartless, cold, and arrogant brand of righteousness. As such, it contained at least 10 tragic flaws. Number one, new laws continually needed to be invented for new situations. Number two, accountability to God was replaced by accountability to man. That's dangerous. Number three, it reduced a person's ability to personally discern or discern the will of God. Number four, it created a judgmental spirit. Number five, the Pharisees confused personal preference with divine law. You ever run across that? Number six, it produced inconsistency. Number seven, it created a false standard of righteousness. Number eight, it became a burden to the Jews. Number nine, it was strictly external. And number 10, more importantly, it was rejected of Christ. Beloved, there's a lot of people today that are not in church, not because of Jesus, but because of somebody. You say, well, they ought to be stronger than that. Well, I know, but people aren't. I know of a good man, and he loves the Lord. But he hasn't been in church since 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something happened in church with some people and the pastor. And I'm asking you today, what's going to stop you from serving the Lord? What's going to stop you from exercising brotherly kindness? We see that not only with church people, but we see that with preachers all the time. One of the hardest things for me to do is sometimes this fellowship with other pastors. And most of the time, I'm part of the problem or most of the problem. I admit that, amen. I'm bent to controversy. Doesn't take too much to get me tangled up. But I'm telling you, we need one another and we need fellowship.
That's right.
Let me illustrate it by this story I've shared with the church a long time ago, but it's worthy of repeating again. And the story goes like this. A man said this. He says, the man's giving the commentary on himself. He goes, "I was walking in San Francisco along the Golden Gate Bridge. When I saw a man about ready to jump off, I tried to convince him from not committing suicide, and he told me simply that God loved that God loved him. I simply told him that God loved him. A tear came to his eye. Then I asked him, "Are you a Christian, Jew, Hindu, or what?" He said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "Me too, small world. Protestant or Catholic?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Me too, what denomination?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Me too, Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" He said, "Northern Baptist." I said, "Well, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist?" Or no. You guys don't get me going here. I won't be able to finish. I said, "Well, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist." I said, "Wow, that's amazing. Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist or Northern Conservative Reformed Baptist?" He said, "Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist." I said, "That's remarkable. Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist, Great Lakes region? Or Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist, Eastern region?" He said, "Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist, Great Lakes region." I said, "It's a miracle. Northern..." Brother Steve, don't laugh. Sue, cover his mouth up with that face mask. Amen. No. I said, "It's a miracle. Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879? Or Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, "Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist Great Lakes Region of 1912. And then I said, "Die, heretic." And I threw him. I pushed him over the rail. Yeah, you know. You know, we laugh about that. But if we're not careful, we'll be just like the scribes and Pharisees. If people don't look like us, walk like us, talk like us, you know. I know I got another pastor in our assembly today, but you know what? I'm preaching from my heart today that, and I hope you don't go away and don't think that we don't have standards, because we do. Amen? You know? And let me say this. Everybody's got standards. Everybody's got standards. You go to the most liberal church today, they don't let someone normally, don't let them get up and minister in front of the congregation with a bathing suit. I'm just simply saying that if we're not careful, that we'll focus on the outward like the Pharisees did, and we'll forget the inward. We'll forget what God's doing in people's lives, and we'll forget to love them. We'll forget to care for them. We'll forget to, listen, give our lives for them to a certain degree. You know, the longer you live for Jesus, the more you're going to die. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." He was dying every day, giving his life for the gospel and for those around him. And we are to do the same. And we're not going to do it unless we have this brotherly love one for another. That's where it starts. And then it's outward. Amen. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. That's what Romans 12:10 said. And what about Galatians 5:22, where we see the fruit of the Spirit? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. If you don't have love, you can't even apply the other fruits to your life. Hebrews 13:1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another, love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous." 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Wow, the definitive mark of a believer, that they were saved, that they once were dead and now they're alive, they passed from life to death, was because they loved one another. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and assure our hearts before Him. That's in 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. He says, let's just not talk about it. Let's do it. Not only in deed, but in truth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him, that beget love Him also that is begotten of Him. Love of the brethren. It's amazing. You know, in Acts, I'm going to close with this scripture here in Acts on brotherly kindness. In Acts chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Is that not the truth? The name of Jesus. Amen. Just as Paul said in Philippians 2, right? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But look what the next verse says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. The word marveled means they were astonished. They go, man, we can't believe this. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. This is the commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And this, as it was with the apostles, with the disciples at that time, when they seen this, when they seen Peter and John, they knew that they were rough fishermen. They probably knew their past, but they marveled. They took knowledge of them. They said, man, something happened to them guys. And what was it? That they had been with Jesus. You have struggle loving the brethren? Get with Jesus. Amen. Let Him change your life. Amen. And He will. As He did Peter and John. I mean, every time I think of fishermen, I think of construction workers. That's the only guys I can relate to is construction workers, right? But they got along and they loved one another because they had been with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the attentiveness of your people, Lord, and it's just so awesome to be able to preach to people that want the word and want to listen. And Lord, I just pray that you would take what was preached today and apply it to their lives. Lord, I pray that the attitude this morning would be, I want what God wants. I want to be fruitful. And I want to bear much fruit. And I want to bear more fruit. And I want my fruit to remain. I want to make a difference. Lord, help us to love one another as you have loved us, Lord Jesus. Help us to make a difference in one another's lives. And oh God, I beg you and I plead with you today, if there's anyone in this room or watching on Facebook that doesn't know you, that they would simply just bow their head even right now and just repent of their sins, and Lord, and ask you to come into their heart and to save them. Lord, help them to be born of the Spirit. Help them to go from the natural to the supernatural. Change them, guide them, direct them. Oh God, we just pray that you do that for us all this morning. That Lord, you would just do something inside of us, and Lord, and help our commitment to you be even stronger today. So Lord, as we have this invitation time, I pray that this would be a time for those that need to make decisions for you, that they would do it today in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and no one looking around, as the piano starts to play, you come this morning and you do business with God. You can kneel at this altar right here. I'm sure you can pray right where you're at. Or you just might need to come forward and make a public decision. Whatever that might be, you do it. You do it today.